Thanks for joining us for this episode of Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield, a podcast developed to challenge your thinking, expand your horizons, and provide a little adventure along the way as we do so. Maybe even add a little humor for you, for my guests and for me, as together we head just around the corner. Today's guest is Mr. Michael Borner, the founder of three startup tech companies and one faith-based nonprofit. I've asked Michael to stay for two episodes, and he's agreed. Today's episode deals with why Michael Borner has done what he's accomplished. Michael's a loving husband, a father of four beautiful daughters, and the granddaughter of one terrific little granddaughter.
Thank you for joining Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. As John Hay, one of the most famous men of the 19th century, once said, all the great prizes in life are just around the corner. Let's go there together.
Welcome back to the podcast, Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. I am your host. And today is the second part, a second episode with Mr. Michael Borner, my dear friend, our guest, our entrepreneurial ministry-minded man. And Michael, we left off the last episode where I gave a bit of a tease on Mission Media going to Mission 17. Here you've been an entrepreneur. You've been the CEO, the startup CEO for successful companies. And all of a sudden, you go into, or I should say back into, the ministry. What in the world happened? Did you, I'd love to hear the process that moved you to say, yes, I've made my success. Now I want to contribute to the significance of the good news from Jesus Christ.
Wow. Well, it's a joy to be with you again. Thank you for this and for the team that puts this together. For the story of going kind of in a three-part scenario, started out, in ministry for 15 years. Accidentally pivoted into business. Someday I would like to write a book, Accidental Business Guy. And then 15 years in that, and many learnings, lots of successes, lots of failures, lots of things that you learn along the way. And then now, for the next 15 plus years, I've been dying to get back to really kind of my first love, which is innovation and entrepreneurial application in the faith-based kingdom space. And so that's what I'm really thrilled in the beginning of this year of 2023. I was able to go back full-time into the ministry we started back in, in the 90s, in 1990, 1991. And this kind of stint between those two has really used the same type of innovation that has always been at the heart of it, which is how do we scale truth?
Yeah.
How do we help people through their kind of continuum of their lives by giving them something that adds value at what we call height of interest, time of need. It started out in the faith-based environment, sharing the gospel with people, and that led to adding things
Well, hang on for a second, because when you did start, you labeled it Mission Media.
Mm-hmm. We did.
But when you rebooted, you called it Mission 17.
Right.
Walk me through the difference.
Yeah. So the kind of kernel of the idea of Mission Media was how do we get this precious grace-based concept out to the masses? And so the most effective means at the time in the 90s would have been the secular media. Mm-hmm. And so the concept of Christians working together to put these amazing messages about Christ on NBC, CBS, MTV, and buying spots in the Super Bowl market in this area was a big idea and a very exciting one. And so that was why we called it Mission Media. Now, whenever we ran commercials, it always featured the brand of the Christian churches of the Treasure Valley. Mm-hmm. So no one ever knew Mission Media was involved in the back end of that when it came to the audience.
It was almost like you were an agency.
Right, yeah. And I mean, you see a commercial, you don't care who the agency is. You care about, whoever is making the commercial. But the whole ministry concept was to get the churches to work together across denominations. We all agreed on the core issues, the kind of the middle of the fairway doctrine to put out to the world so we could actually make the Great Commission occur to get the gospel out there and to also, have it kind of cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And what we found early on is there was a huge agnostic problem. They were ignorant.
It wasn't that they knew it and didn't care. They just didn't know
what
it
was. Yeah, that's why I'm ignorant of the gospel. And we actually used to do man on the street interviews. I'm a big believer in data and research, and so we actually did interviews on the street with people all over the state of Idaho. We set out to do 1,000 in-person interviews. Turns out that was way harder than I thought.
It's a huge statistical body, too.
Yeah, well, I found out later that's the amount of people you would interview for a national piece of research. So we ended up interviewing over 600 people from southern Idaho to northern Idaho, and found that 88% could not answer the question from the Bible, how do you know for sure you can go to heaven? Not do you know what it is, or probably not do you accept it, but do you even know what it is?
What it is.
And we contrasted that with commercials at the time, like Nike and American Express, Didn't Just Do It, etc. So,
but how did the people respond to the Nike and American Express ads?
It was well over 88% could answer those questions. We'd say, finish this sentence, the American Express card, don't leave home without it.
And it's a 14-year-old girl on the microphone telling you that.
Who never would have an American Express card, but they had done a great job being able to have a amount of gross impressions of their messaging. So anyway, all of that is occurring, and so for 15 years, we're using the secular media, and so we named it Mission Media, but the premise underneath the entire strategy was always about this amazing chapter in the book of John, and that's John 17, and that's that high priestly prayer of Jesus the night before he's crucified.
Explain that. Yeah. High priestly prayer, what does that mean?
So you've got, you know, Jesus and the disciples going through their, you know, 3+ years of ministry together, and it's time for the crucifixion to finally occur, and he's actually there on the Mount of Olives and in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, Father, make them one. Make them one, which speaks to the whole concept of unity. And for some reason, Dennis, that has always been on my heart, the concept of unity, getting people to work together. And then the second part of that is, Father, make them one. Why? So the world will believe, which represents outreach and evangelism. And so I really believe the foundation is unity. If you don't get the family of God together in unity, you don't have the commanded blessing that Psalm 133 talks about. And you also don't have the other part we often don't pay attention to, which is that description of, hey, how will people know that you're my disciples? By how well you follow the rules, by how you dress. No, it's by how well you love one another. And so, you know, the family of God is all about adoption, right? Well, who wants to be adopted into a family that doesn't get along or doesn't have any love? And so this is something, you know, I've always loved about your family. You've been a family of love and care and grace. And anybody that comes to your house, I don't want to leave, man. Can I spend the night? Because when you're with Dennis and Susan and the family, it is just the cucaracha, you know, and you have this exuding compassion and love. Well, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. But how does anyone who moves to the Treasure Valley or any city see that manifested among the churches? So our heart has always been, let's get the pastors together. Let's get them to be have relationships together, which leads to deep friendship, which can lead to then immense amounts of trust, which then leads to the next big goal is city reaching. You can't reach a city unless your family's together. And so that was always the concept behind Mission Media was John 17, Father, make them one so the world will believe. But we called it Mission Media because of, wow, hey, what if we could use the media? So when I came back to ministry full-time beginning of this year, I thought, you know what? With all kinds of new tools, why don't we rename it something more appropriate? So let's switch it from Mission Media to Mission 17, which always begs, hey, what mission is that? How many missions have you done? No, it's about a verse in the Bible in John chapter 17. And so that's the reason for the renaming, and I couldn't be more thrilled to be back and working on innovation and taking all of these accretive things we've learned over the last literally 30 years and putting them back into a ministry that can serve and create unity.
Let's walk through it. Where in the past, media would be the three national networks, you now have the internet, you have all these opportunities, but so does everybody else. Your company that you started, Engage Media, then you've been able to take that technology and bring it into Mission 17, has something completely mind-blowing that I'd like you to address the specifics of why people all over America, from the major nonprofit organizations, the NGOs, the spiritually based outreach groups, are going, mind-blown. How are you doing? Explain to the viewers and to the listeners why the work of Mission 17 is extremely unique.
Well, I think it comes from a lot of lessons, a lot of learning, a lot of wonderful people and people investing in a more and more efficient means of transferring knowledge to people at what we call height of interest, time of need, so that they can actually have their lives dramatically transformed or improved. And so in today's world, the transfer of wisdom, of knowledge, right when you need it, is very powerful, but then we've also have a very noisy information economy. And so there's so much out there. Anyone who is curating something that's trusted, that's safe. So when you go to your doctor and someone you trust, when they give you information that you know you have a respect for, it's very different than just Googling something.
Yes.
Internet is phenomenal, but it's overwhelmingly difficult to sort and sift through all the voices. And so what we've designed is a whole new way to transfer knowledge using the best practices. And, you know, again, if you go all the way back before 2005, we didn't have video on the internet. You had to get a VHS or a DVD or some sort of medium. Then broadband came along and 256K changed everything. And now it's a little bit faster than that.
Tiny bit.
And so that allowed video to be transferred with the click of a mouse. And then several years later, we had cell phones. And in fact, I found this in my garage, in one of the old cell phones. It was a flip phone that could you could kind of text on it, but there was definitely no watching of any content.
None.
And then finally, we have that moment where virtually every person in the world has a smartphone that is capable of streaming high-quality video content in real time. Well, that changes the landscape of infrastructure, which enables a whole new level of concepts to be possible. So over the years, we've always been about what I believe Jesus was about, which was the effective telling of stories.
Yes.
And so we are hardwired in our DNA to live through stories, the retention. People will pay money to go sit and listen to a story. Mm-hmm. And the movie theaters are still filled with people who want to see a great story. Just because it's a movie doesn't mean it's good.
That's correct.
And so you have to tell a story in a way.
Message.
That's right.
The movie.
Yeah. And so I've worked with some wonderful people that have continued to develop a really good way to take you through a story arc. And if you can tell that story in a way that, first of all, can be delivered to the person right when they need it. Mm-hmm. Secondly, can you eliminate the friction? Mm-hmm. And thirdly, can you make it easy to nurture them through a sequence? Because sometimes the information isn't 30 seconds and I've got it. No, hey, I'm going through a pregnancy. That's a multiple month journey that only begins once the pregnancy occurs. Well, that's a good example of someone who needs a constant arc of engagement specifically related to where are they at in that phase of what they're developing through. So there's so many occurrences of that in life.
And so it doesn't come at you in a fire hose. It comes at you in a drip, drip, drip fashion.
That's right.
Explain that.
Yeah. So we developed over time, instead of a single experience with content coming at you, what if you only gave me what I needed for the moment? Mm-hmm. And the next day, you gave me the next piece and the next piece. And what if you design that arc of engagement, by doing a huge amount of listening first so you could actually meet with people? And so in the medical world, what we did is we would go and spend a huge amount of time with the leading experts in a particular area. Let's say, for example, when we entered into the eye care world, mm-hmm. the number one surgery in the world is cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. And eventually the proteins in your eye start to clump up and you can't see through it. And so they call them cataracts. And cataract, if you look it up, actually is the old ancient term that means waterfall. Mm. And so when you see someone with bad cataracts, it's all white. So it looks like there's a waterfall in their eye.
Yes.
And so it causes blindness. And so you cut it out, and great companies like Alcon and others make these amazing lenses that can be put inside of the eye so you can see again. And so the education as a part of that is pretty substantial. Mm-hmm. So we developed a methodology that would allow us to be able to explain, here's what the diagnosis means. Oh, here's where your options are. Oh, and I can have this surgery. Well, what does that require? How does that work? And taking them through all of that information in little bits of 90-second to 2-minute video content all the way through their journey from diagnosis to preoperative to postoperative care. And then also in that particular scenario, they have an option to pay cash out of pocket for a trifocal lens mm-hmm. instead of what the insurance covers, which is a basic lens. So there's all kinds of complexities. Mm-hmm. And so if you build a story by doing a lot of listening, and then you do shadowing with patients, you get with the doctors. And it's kind of funny, it's a little bit like Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray. So if you remember that movie, he got stuck in the same day forever.
Yes, he did.
And he tries to kill himself. I can't take it anymore. And he finally goes, okay, I can't kill myself. So I'm going to take all of this, what I would call data, and learn he already knows what everyone in that town does every day, so he knows exactly when Jimmy falls out of the tree to catch him. Mm-hmm. He knows right when those elderly ladies have the flat tire, pumps it up, knows right when to do the Heimlich of the guy choking on the stake, and even when to light the lady's cigarette, right?
Yes, right.
So he knows all of that, like the back of his hand, and so when he comes in and serves, using all that knowledge to be just in time, right when it's needed, he becomes like the mayor of the town.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the same approach we take both to business and to ministry. Go through and find the people who've been through Groundhog's Day forever. Mm-hmm. They know exactly what's needed in a patient experience. Mm-hmm. They know exactly what's needed in the faith-based world with discipleship and evangelism. And they know the common story arc that that person needs. So we design a content arc to walk them through that process that comes right to their mobile phone. And in today's world, we prefer short-form video over reading most of the time, especially if the short-form video is well-produced. And also, when it comes to delivery, we spent millions of dollars over the years developing apps and platforms, but they represent often barriers. And so now, almost anyone in the world that you would ask prefers, how do you want to be communicated with? Almost everyone will tell you the same answer, text.
Because, going just seconds ago, you said that there's a sense of an obstacle of the app. Explain that, because that's friction.
Yeah, it is. And if there's one thing we all don't like, that is friction. We want things to be extremely efficient. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, hey, Dennis, there's this really cool thing. You got to go download the app. First of all, you got to go search the massive app store. Then you got to find the app, the right one that's named properly.
The right one. Right?
Then you have to download the app. Then you need to register for the app and put in your information and create an account, et cetera, to finally, hopefully, get to the information you need.
I'm doing nothing but aging as I do this.
So we spent a lot of money over the years developing apps. I'm a big fan of apps.
Sure.
It's just when it comes to many use cases, an app is a huge barrier.
Yeah.
And so we developed a whole methodology to take short-form stories, to put them in a sequence, make them possible to be consumed on a mobile phone, but to have them delivered via text. Challenge with text. Text was developed many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not an intelligent infrastructure. Mm-hmm. It sends you a text. It can give you a link. Link can take you to a website maybe. But what we developed is a whole new method to be able to make it possible for the platform not to be about texting, but to use texting to bring it into an intelligent system that's able to put mobile engagement into a methodology that actually knows what you need without any kind of login. So at Engage Technologies,
no login.
No login, no app, no email, no passwords. And so the reason we need those, right?
Liberty.
Is because we want two things. We want to put white label experiences into that doctor's office or that church so it looks like it was invented or created by that entity. Well, you need data to be able to make that possible, which means you need registration. The second thing you want is data analytics. You want to see how well it's performing. Are people using it? Are they watching? Are they abandoning it? Well, the only way to do that is to make people log in with some sort of identifiable unit that can connect that white label to that patient or that parishioner. Well, by God's grace, we were able to pull together a system and create a mobile intelligence platform that when someone texts into it, it uses their cell number as the unique identifier, which comes automatically into the baked-in CRM, which is interoperable with the landing pages,
right,
as well as the logic engine and the marketing automation. And now you have something that actually, when someone scans or texts, it can take them on a journey, but they never had to log into anything. They didn't have to get an app. They didn't have to create a password. There's no portal. But it knows when they binge watch it, it keeps track. If they forget, it reminds them, all using this beautiful communication tool of text, which we carefully protect.
And you want to create, or you have created, for those of us who are firm believers in sharing the love of Christ with people, a methodology of saying, oh, have you heard about the reality of the gospel to someone who's oblivious to it? And then say, well pull out your smartphone.
That's right.
And then what happens at that point?
That's right. Well, on the medical side, we developed a whole new methodology. Let's say, for example, someone's getting hip replacement surgery, pretty major surgery. And so we developed a library that allows someone to receive a text before they come in to see the surgeon that tells them all about what's going to happen. It would be pre-appointment. Right. And then as soon as they're told, yep, you need surgery, then it starts dripping content to them for their preoperative preparation. Mm-hmm. Here's what you need to do. Here's the drugs you need to stop taking, the medicines. Good evening. It's the night before. You can't eat tonight after midnight or we're canceling surgery. And then it starts dripping you content post-operatively. Mm-hmm. Explain, hey, good morning. It's the day after surgery. Hey, it's been 3 days. This is what the surgical site should look like. It takes you all the way through. So that entire engagement process, pre, during, and post, is what we would call this beautiful arc of engagement, yellow brick road, all wrapped in that brand. So we're bringing that very same methodology into the church world, into the faith-based space, to use it for discipleship, evangelism, training, marriage, baptism, all kinds of things that require this arc of knowledge, never designed to replace the human interaction, but it takes so much of that knowledge and helps it come across effectively and without friction, so that when you're face-to-face with people, so much of that is already done so you can engage at a deeper level.
So how does a church go about, or a religious organization, go about working with you to get this done so it would have the white label of Crew or InterVarsity Christian Fellowship or First Baptist Church of Memphis or whatever,
right,
to be able to be useful for their congregation?
Yeah. Well, on the ministry side, we're taking that same technology and bringing it into the church world so that we can wrap it in the brand of whoever owns that relationship. So it looks like they invented it, which really goes back to the whole mission media strategy.
That's pretty nice.
No one needs to know we're here. Let's serve the local church, which we believe, you know, it's God's instrument to reach the world. And so I can show you a quick kind of picture here. This is a kind of 11 by 17 of this. I think this is, you're able to see it. So this is for someone, let's say on a Sunday morning, they come into a church and many people go to the altar or they make a decision to walk with Christ and accept Christ that moment. Well, when they leave that church, many of them are still on their phones all the time.
Yeah.
Well, how about we use that same behavior to immerse them into a 31-day discipleship journey specifically designed for that particular context. And so all they have to do is scan or text, and that brings them into the mobile intelligence platform. And because of the unique keyword to that church, it's all branded for that church. It's all connected to that church. And the very first video they receive is a congratulations from that pastor that they likely just saw seconds ago that helped them walk through that prayer to receive Christ, saying, congratulations. So excited for you. It's completely contextualized to that moment. And then it says, we've prepared a 31-day journey, and all it's going to do now is start sending you a text each day that'll give you a wonderful piece of content from our friends at the Bible Project, which we have a wonderful license with them to use their content all over the world in any languages to be able to make this possible.
Now, the Bible Project, for those of you who may not be aware of it, is an amazing...
Finest. Yes.
Communication tool that I would never have thought seeing, quote-unquote, a cartoon, really it's an artist rendering, over a very short period of time, give me incredible content about something that is ageless and eternal.
Right. Well, and this will walk a new believer through a level of spiritual maturity like you've never imagined, because it's kind of like we talked about before, kind of 31 middles of the cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Beautifully put together. And the Bible Project has graciously allowed this to be part of this whole platform, which is free to the end user, to the church members to be able to utilize. And then each one of these episodes also has deep links that go right back to that church, their social media channels, to their events, etc. And then the pastor kind of keeps touch
this
with you along the way. So it's all measurable to see how people are doing it. And if you watch them all to the completion, it actually gives the person a certificate, shows that they completed it.
That they did do it.
Yeah, and no one had to deal with the friction.
That's tremendous.
Of apps or emails or passwords.
Yeah. Michael, when I think about the use of technology, so many times my mind goes to, gosh, it's being abused.
It's being abused.
In so many different ways, I don't even want to bring them up. But when I think about your technology, this encourages me greatly. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to really devote two full episodes to the arc of your story, to bring it to be available for the people who are watching this and listening to this second episode. How can they be involved and be connected to you? What's the best way for people to reach out and say, I'd like this for my denomination, for my large-scale ministry opportunity?
Sure, yeah. Well, depending on the airing of this broadcast, we're actually launching this for the very first time to the world at a major national conference, actually next week.
Oh, okay.
And so we're putting this whole platform into the faith-based ecosystem so churches can subscribe and be able to utilize this whole new platform and deploy it into their environments to dramatically simplify. And that simplification of discipleship, evangelism, training on a multitude of topics. We'll continue to add more and more content to it. And mission17.us is probably the easiest way to get in touch with us.
Mission 17, mm-hmm. The numbers, not...
Right, mission 17, mission17.us. We'll take you to our website.
Wonderful.
And I want to mention something you said, and that is, if I had a choice to take this device, that little grandchild on there, and have it be destroyed globally, I would choose that over what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because I think this is probably one of the most detrimental objects in the world. However, it's not going away,
yeah.
And we're going to take that addiction people have that device, and I believe fight fire with fire. Mm-hmm. And in these yellow brick roads of content, when we take people on what we call a story path to help them understand and grow in the fact that, hey, this phone that you're on, you can learn with it, but learn to put it away.
Yeah.
Let's have life-on-life engagement. Yeah. If you're in a family, your family needs you instead of this.
Yes.
And so probably not getting rid of this device, but we can sort of use it to serve in positive ways.
You know, 20 years from now, you're going to be in your 70s. Your sweet granddaughter is going to be in her 20s.
Amazing.
What are you going to hope that these next two decades of you having an impact on your granddaughter and any other grandchildren that come your way will do for eternity for the people around her, the people in her life, based on what you're doing here?
Yeah. It's a great question. And I think, you know, part of the answer to that has to do with, I think, how well, first of all, we prepare our own life to serve. And in order to serve, we've also got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
We've got to be able to make sure that we're doing the right things day in, day out that keep the energy high. Because, boy, if you're not healthy and you don't have energy, it's really hard to serve others. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I'm paying more and more attention to is, okay, let's keep the energy flowing. Mm-hmm. But also thinking about what legacy we do want to leave. Mm-hmm. And so we're involved with this wonderful ministry called 365 Christian Men that drips you a new story each day.
I think which you watch those. Which my bride Susan and I watch every morning.
Yes. And
it's
so
remarkable.
George Washington Carver was one of the ones that was on, and just his story is amazing, but the culmination of it was he didn't care about the accolades, the innovations, the wealth. It was about how do I serve other people?
Yeah.
And so that's really what I want to do is for the next, you know, major chapter of my life is to take the energy and to be able to serve at the close family level, discipling our own children, caring for our brides. And one of the greatest beauties of the Christian life is, what does a marriage look like? What does your family relationship look like? And there are circumstances that occur, but we need to really make sure that countenance in our spouse and our family is right, because we're serving there. But I don't know about you. I know you've had a number of the same heroes I've had. I really admire the Dave Hannas of the world, who founded Athletes in Action, does all this stuff with Campus Crusade, and enjoy connecting with him on innovation. He's 82 and full court press going after it, you know. And so we've looked up to people who've just never retired. There's nothing wrong with retiring, but let's use our time to serve and have a passion for kingdom impact. And so that's what I want to do. And for the world that our grandchildren are growing up in, what can we do to dramatically impact the fruit of the Spirit, kind of walking in the nine, that list of, you know, things in Galatians are so important, but we don't get that unless we live in a way that honors God, which means we have to have the soil around us to be able to grow people, and that's really what I hope we can do in the next few decades.
I think purposeful intentionality is really the linchpin for your life and my life. And as I've ridden shotgun with you for 3.5 decades, I can tell you that I'm thrilled about where we're going. Not just where we've been.
I am as well. Well, I'll tell you, from watching your life, Dennis, for the last 3.5 decades, I just so admire in you that you have been forever, since the day we met, a giver. Mm-hmm. You've been generous, and you've been one of the busiest people I've ever known. The things you've had to do with the businesses you've run, the ministries you've run, you were always full court press in the schedule. But somehow you always made time to disciple others, to pour into others, to care for people at every level. From coaching CEOs to dealing with people who've just gotten out of prison, you have been a giver of life and encouragement. And you have just been one of those rare people that has just been this extraordinary delivery vehicle of love, grace, and encouragement. So thank you for what you've done in my life, the way you've mentored me, and the way you are a hydro-seeder, both in the natural and the spiritual, one of his businesses.
Yeah, this was a company I owned at one time. Yep. Well, I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know, when we give birth to our children, we think, I wonder what they'll do as we shoot those arrows into the future. When we give birth to our, you know, children who then give birth to their children, it becomes a mind blower about where those grandchildren are going to be shot into the future.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this as we end, it's not on a sad note, but it's on a joyous note. In the eternal picture, I not only saw my oldest son born, but when he was 27, he passed away. And he loved God with all of his heart, with all of his soul. And he was a captive of drugs. And in that capacity, when he died, there was only one person that I could have officiate my son Nate's funeral, and that was you, Michael.
It's a precious day.
So it's that degree of intentionality of reaching out to you through the episode today to encourage you that where Nate is in eternity with Christ is where we will be. I can't wait for the moment when my time does come, that I'm welcomed in with the voice of my son, who says, "Hey, Daddy-O, when's Michael coming?" And I'll tell him, a long time from now. He's still got work to do.
He's still sending couches on ahead.
Yep. So, Michael, thank you for being on the show, on the podcast for both episodes.
It's what a joy.
Honor to be with you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank Michael Warner and mission17.us. Visit it.